You're in Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to ask you to hold your place there and go back to Galatians chapter 1. Go back to Galatians chapter 1 and look with me at verses 6 through 8. Look carefully what the Apostle Paul says here. We've looked at this before. We've studied this passage before. Look again, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, I marvel that you were turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Now go back to chapter 3. And again, verse 10, because I want you to see the connection here. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Look at the connection. Paul says this, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, the Apostle Paul believed that there was a teaching among the churches of Galatia which was so destructive to people and so dishonoring to God that it merited a divine curse. And brothers and sisters, you can't read these verses that we just read without saying to yourself or without thinking in your minds, this is serious. This is serious. What's happening in these churches of Galatia is very serious. Folks, I want you to think about this for a moment, that this was a teaching that was shared not by the humanists from Athens or from the pagans from Asia Minor, but this was by God-fearing Jewish church members from Jerusalem. Let that move through your thoughts just for a moment. See, one of the reasons that the book of Galatians is so life-changing is that it pronounces a curse from God not on atheistic or agnostic unbelievers, but on professing Christians who try to live for God in a way that diminishes God's grace and cultivates their pride. You see, this letter from the Apostle Paul to the Galatians is a reminder that we today are in danger of false assurances. Folks, Satan is continuously at work, tempting us to think and to feel that because we use God talk and we come to church and we pray at meals and we avoid gross sins, we are therefore under God's blessing. But this letter to the Galatians is concerning a group of people that we call Judaizers who do all of those things. And Paul says they are under a curse. So none of us should live easily under the book of Galatians. All of us should look at our lives, our hearts, as we study this book. You see, divine blessing and a divine curse is the issue when we look at the book of Galatians. And the divide is not between church people and non-church people. It's not between those who follow God and those who do not follow God. The great divide here is between those who have been crucified with Christ and who now live in utter dependence on the living Jesus Christ, and those, on the other hand, who have never really died to self-reliance and who depend upon themselves and their own power and their own works to be right with God. You see, that's the great divide here in the book of Galatians. And one group glorifies only in the cross of Jesus Christ by which they died to self and sin, and the other group glorifies in their own power and their own strength to make themselves righteous before God. One group enjoys the blessing of God promised to Abraham and his spiritual descendants, and the other group is under a divine curse. And therefore, we must look at this passage today in a spirit of sober self-examination, because it is written for every one of us here today. And the issue again is divine blessing or divine curse. I want you to see in our passage that the Apostle Paul makes three powerful statements in this text that will impact us today and help us to know whether we are under curse or under blessing. So what are these statements? First of all, look at verse 10. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Paul says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse." We look at that statement and we need to ask ourselves, or we should ask ourselves, okay, so what is this curse? What's Paul talking about here? I think one good way to answer that question is this. Well, let's find out what the blessing is, and whatever the blessing is, the curse would be the opposite. If we understand the blessing, we'll understand the curse. So look at verses 13 and 14. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. What's the blessing that Paul speaks about here? He says, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree,' that the blessing of Abraham," do you see that? "That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that," here it is, "that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So what he's saying then is this, that Christ became a curse for us so that we might have the blessing of Abraham. Now, I'm not going to describe this blessing of Abraham in detail. We did that in a previous study. Christ became a curse for us so that we might have the blessing of Abraham. And so the blessing of Abraham, according to verse 14, look at it carefully, the blessing of Abraham is the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul says. And this means that the curse must be at least the absence of the Holy Spirit. If the blessing is to have the Holy Spirit, then the curse would be not to have the Holy Spirit. So when verse 10 says that as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, it means that they are without the Holy Spirit. And folks, that means then that they are cut off from God and His judgment abides on them. And so then we can see how crucial it is to avoid being a person who relies on the works of the law. Because those who rely on the work of the law are under the curse of God. Now, we have to ask ourselves this question. Well, what does that mean to be of the works of the law? What does it mean to rely on the works of the law? What does it mean to be of the works of the law? Now, there's no Greek word for a word that we use today, and that word is legalism. To understand it, let me give you just a definition, and then we'll expound on that just for a while. Legalism is the idea and the action that we do certain works or we obey certain laws to be right with God or to show our worth to God or to achieve a righteous standing before God. And so, folks, this is what Paul's talking about in this passage. This is what was happening in the churches of Galatia. When Paul wanted to refer to the legalistic misuse of the law of Moses, he either had to use the term law, and trust that the context of what he wrote would be understood by his hearers, or he used the phrase, the works of the law. Now that's important to understand this passage. See, this phrase, the works of the law, has this negative legalistic meaning. It's to trust in your obedience to the law, or to trust in keeping rules for your righteous standing before God. This was what was happening in the churches of Galatia. Now, folks, what that means then is this, that there is a difference between the law as God intended it to be and the law as legalism. Do you remember in a previous study or in a previous passage, do you remember how Peter, who had been eating with the Gentiles, withdrew from the Gentiles because he was under pressure from the Judaizers? Do you remember that? He had been free from the dietary laws of the law of Moses, but then began to follow them and to imply that for Gentiles to be fully Christians, they also had to keep those laws. And so what happened to Peter is that he was influenced by the Judaizers, he was pressured by them, and he once again moved down to doing a work to make himself worthy before God. And it affected, maybe I should say, it infected some of those believers there in Galatia. Peter was wrong, and Paul confronted him. Paul saw this. He knew that Peter was not in sync with the gospel, and it was contrary to the law itself. Go back to Galatians chapter 2 and look at verse 18. Galatians 2:18. That's part of this passage where Peter gave himself to the law and Paul confronts him. Chapter 2, verse 18, Paul says, "For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." So what Paul was saying there is that if he puts himself back under the regulations of the law as a means to be right with God, then he's actually transgressing the law. Because that was not the purpose of the law. It's not why the law was given. And so the law itself condemns the use of its own commands as a way of proving our worth to God and trying to earn His blessing. And so then Paul uses this phrase. I can't tell you how important this is to understand this passage. Paul uses this phrase, the works of the law, to refer to the legalistic misuse of the law. And folks, the works of the law don't come from faith, they come from self-effort. Look at Galatians 3, verse 2. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. And again, we've already looked at these passages. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. Paul says, "This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And of course, the obvious answer is, for those Galatians who were truly believers, they received the Spirit by the hearing of faith, not by the works of the law, not by trying to keep the law or trying to earn their way into a good standing with God by keeping the law. See, that's the works of the law. Look at verse 5, Galatians 3:5. Paul says, "Therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law?" There it is again. "Or by the hearing of faith?" And for true believers, it's by the hearing of faith. And yet these people in Galatia, these believers in Galatia, had been influenced by these false teachers who say you have to do the works of the law. You have to keep these regulations. You have to keep these laws if you want to fully, completely be a Christian. I think I said it last week or the week before. It's like this. The Judaizers were saying you have to put your faith in Jesus Christ and you have to become a Jew. You have to become Jewish. And then you will fully be a Christian. And Paul confronted that. And that's what we're seeing in these passages. So Paul then contrasts the works of the law with the hearing of faith. The works of the law then are the self-reliant efforts of man to demonstrate his worth and his righteous standing before man and God. And folks, that's legalism. It means this, if we would put it just in our own simple speech, I can do good works for God to be right with God. That's legalism. I can obey certain rules and be right with God. I can, by my own efforts of obedience, be justified before God. And brothers and sisters, that is a misuse of the law. The law itself condemns this misuse of the law. And so the Judaizers were teaching, and some of the Galatians were believing this false teaching. That's why Paul writes this book. Now, let's dig even deeper as we think about what Paul's saying here in this passage. Let's understand this because it's very, very important for us today. Now in Galatians chapter 3 verses 1 through 5, we've already looked at that passage. The Judaizers told the Galatian Christians that it's okay to start the Christian life by faith, but then later you have to depend upon your own works. So again, that's what the Judaizers are teaching. So you begin salvation by faith in Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit, but you have to complete your salvation by works in your own power. That was the message of the Judaizers, those false teachers. And Paul's response was, it can't be done. This is false. Justification is by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. Sanctification is by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. You see, that was the message of the Apostle Paul. If you start with faith and then you shift over to the works of the law, then you're going to be under a curse. And that's not true Christianity, and it's not true salvation. Now, let's notice carefully, because this curse in verse 10 is not because you fail to do the works of the law. Get this now. It's because you do the works of the law, and you do them in your own strength and power. You see, that brings the curse. Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For all, another translation says, for all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. And so when you give yourself to gaining righteousness before God through keeping laws or keeping rules, you are cursed. You cannot do it. You cannot do it at all. You see, the real issue then is trusting in your doing or your obeying or your working. It was when Peter started keeping the dietary laws that Paul said that he was out of sync with the gospel. And the issue was Peter's trust in keeping the law. And folks, what that means is that the problem with the Judaizers is not their failure to follow the detailed statutes of the law. The problem was that they missed the larger lesson of the law, that without a new heart and without the enablement of God and without faith, all efforts to obey the law would be in their own power and their own strength. And that is legalism. That is legalism. And that's what Paul's talking about in this passage. Now, I hope you're with me. I hope that we're together so far in what we've said, so we need to continue. You see, the big emphasis by Paul so far is the works of the law, and the works of the law, that legalistic misuse of the law, that will bring the curse upon a person. Now, the usual interpretation of verses 10 through 12 says that Paul contrasts the Mosaic law with faith. And he argues that since no one keeps the Mosaic law perfectly, then all are under a curse. But you know, when I study this passage, and even based on what I've shared with you this morning, an understanding of Paul's emphasis here would seem best to see Paul's contrast not with the Mosaic law itself, but with legalism. See, it's the contrast of legalism with faith. It's the contrast of trying to be right with God by keeping laws or rules. That's legalism with living by faith. That's the contrast that we see in this passage. In verse 10, he speaks of the works of the law. That's legalism. And then in verses 11 and 12, I think he shortens it to this word law. He's still talking about the works of the law. He's still talking about legalism, and he just shortens it and he calls it law. Now, with that in mind, I want to go back and I want to paraphrase verses 10 through 12, and then we'll move on to our second statement. So this would be my own amplified reading of Galatians 3, verses 10 through 12. So listen now. Verse 10. All who cease to live by faith and give themselves to keeping the law in their own strength in order to earn God's favor are under the curse of the law. For in Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, it says that people are cursed who don't keep it all. And they neglect the parts that teach dependence on God and faith in God. Verse 11. It is clear that justification can never be achieved by legalism, for Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 makes clear that faith brings a person righteous before God, and this is the opposite of self-effort or prideful legalism. Verse 12. But the works of the law are not rooted in faith. It is rooted in man's own power and doing and working and obeying. Leviticus 18 verse 5 says, "He who does them shall live by them." So contrary to God's purpose, the works of man have been added to faith. That's Galatians 3, 10 through 12. And so I again emphasize to you as we're looking at this passage that the real issue is not the law itself. The issue is a misuse of the law that relies on man's efforts and works for righteousness. And so the first point of this passage is that good and moral and religious people who have not been crucified with Christ and who do not have the Spirit empowering them through faith can come to church and be involved in church and work in the church and still be under a curse. That's what's happening in Galatia. They're trusting in themselves. They're relying on themselves, their own efforts and their own works to bring righteousness and to continue this righteousness before God. Now, I want you to notice there's a second statement. Look at verse 13, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we step back and we ask ourselves, so then, what hope is there for us when we have tried to bribe God with our pitiful works and our pitiful morality? What hope is there for us? What hope is there when we have insulted the all-sufficient Creator by exalting ourselves and we try to negotiate with God? God, I'll give you my service in exchange for your grace. God, I'll give you a moral, religious life in exchange for your mercy. And folks, it will not work. We are cursed by our own self-effort and our own self-works. We are separated from God. We are under God's judgment if we're trusting in our own works or the keeping of rules. Now, I've said that this morning about 20 times. And you know, it needs to be said. It perhaps needs to be said another 20 times. Because you see, there's a part of us that will move us toward this self-trust and this dependence upon our own works. And that's what Paul was facing then. And yes, that's what we face today. There is no hope at all unless God, in His remarkable grace and love, is willing to transfer our curse and our sentence of judgment to someone else. And that's exactly what God did. Look again, verse 13. Paul says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see, folks, the heart of the gospel is that Christ, Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, Jesus trusted His Father fully and perfectly. There was not one ounce of legalism in Jesus. He lived a life of faith. He lived a life of trust in His Father. He lived in the power of the Holy Spirit, and He fulfilled the law perfectly because He lived by faith in God, and He lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when He experienced the curse of the law on the cross, it was my curse. It was your curse. Our curse was placed on Him. And therefore, in the words of the prophet, I think Brother Arvid read these words earlier in our worship service, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, He has borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. By His stripes we are healed. And how did all this take place? The prophet says that the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He took our curse upon Himself. Paul quotes Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, in these verses when he says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Folks, in Old Testament times, criminals or lawbreakers were executed usually by stoning, and then they were displayed, they were hung, they were tied to a wooden stake or a wooden post so that everyone could see that the curse of God was upon them. They had broken God's law, and everyone could see that they had broken God's law, and so they were stoned and then they were tied to a stake publicly so everyone could see them. When Jesus Christ was crucified, it was evidence that He was under the curse of God. He was put to death as He was hung on a wooden cross. And brothers and sisters, He did it for us. He took our place. And the good news for all of us who are under the curse of the law and the judgment of God is that Christ redeemed us. It means that He paid our sin debt. He purchased our freedom. He died in our place. And folks, there is a way out of this bondage to self-effort and pride and self-dependence and self-works. We have a way out. There is a way out of a life given to the works of the law. We must turn away from ourselves and turn in faith to Jesus Christ. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And finally, there's a third statement. Look at verse 14. Verse 14. So God's aim in providing Christ as a saving substitute was that, here's what Paul says in verse 14, that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that, here it is, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And so Paul sees the blessing of Abraham summed up in the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 3:3, he says, having begun in the Spirit. In Galatians 3:5, he says, He who supplies the Spirit. So we receive the Spirit and we continue in the Spirit as we turn away from self-effort and self-dependence. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ purchased the right to receive His Spirit, and we do so by faith. And through faith, we continue to live in the Spirit of Christ. And this is the blessing of Abraham. This is what Paul calls it. This is the blessing of Abraham. It's the Holy Spirit and living in His power and living through Him. Now let me bring this together. Let me bring it together what we've looked so far in chapter 3. What's Paul saying and what he's doing? What is he doing here in chapter 3 of Galatians? He is pleading and he's teaching the Galatians not to be bewitched by the Judaizers who have added the works of the law to a life of faith. And so here then is how we would summarize it. I'll use some of Paul's questions. For example, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did you receive the Spirit? By the hearing of faith. Now I emphasize the hearing of faith because I want to hear you. By the hearing of faith. Another question. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made complete by the flesh? What's the answer? No. No. Here's another question. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? By the hearing of faith. Now, folks, put this together. It's the people of faith, not works, who are the children of Abraham and who inherit the blessing. And people who take up works of the law are under a curse. And the law itself pronounces this. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ is our only and our all-sufficient hope of escaping God's judgment and God's curse. And God will give us His Spirit when we repent and we turn away from self-confidence and self-works and put all of our trust in Him. And God then joins us with Jesus Christ and we crucify the old way of life that trust in works and self-effort. And we now live our lives by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. So what we have before us today is a way of blessing or a way of cursing. And the way of blessing is by faith, and the way of cursing is by works. The way of blessing is centered on the crucified and resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. And the way of cursing is on our own works and our own self-effort. So I ask you this morning in closing, how will you live? Will you live by your own works and your own power and your own self-efforts, which will bring the curse upon you? Or will you live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you? You see, it's a life of blessing or it's a life of cursing. What way will you live? Let's bow our heads.